The league meeting just got done, and the NFL owners have finally got done with the votes, besides one proposed rule change, and that is the tush-push. Does Jimmy Haslam regret his decision on bringing on Deshaun Watson? Short answer, yes. Yes, he does. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast, powered by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. And right off the bat, at 11:35, we got some breaking news.
Of course.
Breaking news at the top of the hour. Not really
it's
top.
Not really, but
Myles Garrett has announced his retirement. I'm just kidding. It's April Fool's. Happy April Fool's Tuesday.
Oh, you beat me to it. Chris, at the very end, I was going to say something like, Aaron Rodgers has finally signed a two-year, $60 million deal with the Steelers. April Fool's.
I was just thinking of doing the April Fool's thing like 5 seconds prior to me saying that. And I probably would have been better to do someone other than Myles Garrett for a retirement thing. But what are you going to do? The NFL voted on, or the NFL owners voted on proposed rule changes this morning. And they finally came back. One of them, of course, was the tush push. And so far, the tush-push ban proposal got set to a later date. It's one of those things where there is a lot of – it's very 50-50. Like, there's a lot of butting heads. And there's not a clear – per se – there's not a clear leader in this, right? Does that make sense, CJ?
Yeah.
Yeah. There, like – all the owners are kind of split down the middle on this.
Obviously, it was 16-16.
Yeah, like Nick Sirianni obviously wants this, and I don't know if you saw the quote that he had. I don't know if it's true or not. I kind of just saw it like very quickly and then scrolled to the next thing. But he said he was talking about Jonathan Gannon, Shane Steichen, and Kellen Moore, all of whom used to be assistants under Nick Sirianni. And he said – they know what to vote for because that they got their jobs because of it.
Yeah, it's funny.
We talked about this before though. I would like it to not be banned, but I guess since the episode where we talked about the original tush push ban proposal by the Packers a couple weeks ago. It feels like a month ago, honestly. I would not like to see it banned, but as time has gone on since we did that episode, I've kind of been growing more accepting to the fact that it's going to get banned, even though I don't really want it to. Like, because obviously the one counterpoint that makes the most sense to me is, and obviously we talked about that too, is how linebackers can't push behind like defensive linemen, right? And that's like that's the main counterpoint, right? And I can be more willing to accept that fact. And obviously we've talked about how there's no a 0% injury rate on the tush push play besides Chris Jones in the Super Bowl, but he was just being a jackass.
Yeah, offsides and lined up horizontally to the line. So he quite literally hurt himself. Chiefs fans don't want to hear it, but I also don't care what Chiefs fans want and don't want.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how this ends up playing out. Of course, like we said, 0% injury rate since 2022. And in 2024, the tush-push play had an 87% success rate, according to ESPN Analytics. And that's accounting for any team that's doing their own tush-push play, not just the Eagles. We're talking about the Bills. We're talking about whoever else does the tush push. Honestly, I can't think of who else does the tush push besides the Eagles and the Bills. I'm blanking on it right now.
I'm sure a few teams have tried it at least once. Like,
yeah,
no one has it more than the Eagles, though.
No, like the Chiefs kind of have their own little version. Like every team has their own little version too, where they also have like the tight end going in to do the snap. Like Noah Gray on the Chiefs will do the quarterback sneak instead of Patrick Mahomes. Shit like that. Another rule change that just got approved: the touchback spot change has now been moved from the 30-yard line to the 35-yard line. So, once again, this is a thing for the league where they're trying to eliminate touchbacks and try to encourage more kick returns. So, obviously, before and 15 years ago, they made the rule change of moving the kickoff to the 35. Like moving the kickoff point to the 35 from the 30, and the touchback was at the 25 still. And then they made the new hybrid kickoff thing last year and moved the touchback spot to the 30-yard line, which teams kind of said, all right, well, that's a 5-yard difference. Who cares? But now you have a 10-yard difference, which kind of does matter at this point. You're talking 10 yards field position. So this is just another attempt for the league to encourage more kick. And I want more kick returns as well. And if this is going to do that, then by all means, go for it. But my thing at the end of the day is you could have easily just got like just fixed it by moving the kickoff spot 5 yards. 5 yards back to where it originally was.
Just this is so stupid. It really is. Like, at this point, just give them the ball on the 50. I mean, if you're starting on the 35, then literally like one solid play and you're already in field goal range. Like, it's no secret why the NFL wants to do this. It's really not. They want more scoring. That's really like all this is. They want to facilitate more scoring. And for me, I just think it's funny, you know, just the real duality of man type thing we have going on here. Because remember back in the day, circa like 2013 to like 2016 or whatever, when they were talking about, oh, kickoffs are unsafe. And there was some like legitimate movement to try to ban kickoffs.
Yep.
I remember. And as a result, they moved it, you know, from the 20 to the 25. They're saying, oh, hey, yeah, no. Then they got rid of the wedge block formation. Then you couldn't take a running start until like the ball was X amount of yards or whatever. And now they're trying to increase the amount of kickoffs. It gets to the point where they're trying to discourage touchbacks because a lot of – and they're hiding behind the data of, okay, well, the dynamic kickoff decreases injury risk. All right, NFL, you're clearly leaving something out, you know? Because they're saying, it's like, oh, you're less likely to get hurt on the dynamic kickoff. Oh, that's so cool. All right. I want to add a very important piece of context. Teams were returning the ball less because most teams thought the dynamic kickoff was stupid. And as a result, they were just settled for the touchback, even though they tried to discourage that by moving the ball to the 30, now the 35. So, yeah, obviously injuries are going to go down when teams aren't returning it. Like, duh. But you can't just say, oh, we changed it. No. So, once again, like I said, they're just trying to discourage touchbacks, which it's just, it's so, wait, why? Why? Like, why to the 35? That's like I said, just at this point, you know, just give the ball at the red zone. Like, I mean, sky's the limit when you don't care.
Truthfully,
it's ridiculous, I guess, is the term. It really is. And as far as the tush push goes, like you mentioned, like I said, the league actually seems pretty split. 16 owners voted to get rid of it. 16 voted to keep it. So obviously well short of the 24 that they needed. I would say the easiest solution just to amend the rule that says linebackers can push on the defensive linemen. See, problem solved. Everyone's happy. Yeah. And really, there's just no reason to get rid of it. But overall, moving the touchback position to the 35, that's just wrong. Or at bare minimum, allow the defense. So you know how they have to wait till you catch the ball before you run? Otherwise, it's an illegal formation. That's stupid. Let them take a running start. Also, bring back the wedge block. Come on.
Yeah. You bring up the wedge block, and so these kickoff rules have been – it feels like every year they're – and you made that point. It feels like every year they're making some sort of change to the kickoffs and whatnot. And this has been a pretty much a 15, 16 year thing because the wedge block got banned back in 09. NCAA followed suit in the next year in 2010. And then a couple of years later, they moved the kickoff spot back up to the 35. Like I said, this could all just be fixed by moving it back to the 30. Just move it back to the 30. You'll get more returns. Like, you don't need to move the touchback line. You don't need to do any of this shit. You could just move it back 5 yards. That's all it is. The other rule change that has been put into place is now the aligning of the overtime rules with playoffs and regular season. So now the regular season overtime is now the same as the overtime, which is that both teams will now have a chance to possess the football and have a chance to score. Whereas in the regular season in the past, if you score a touchdown, game's over. If you kick a field goal and get it, other team has a chance. This is one of those that, like I said, a couple weeks ago when we first were talking about these proposed rule changes, that, you know, I saw this more as like kind of a similarity to like the NHL rules where they just have three on three overtime for 5 minutes. If they can't get it done, they go to a shootout just to save legs. I kind of always saw it as that. But when you also think about how there's a lot less games in an NFL season than any other season, these games matter that much more. This is kind of my thought process through the last couple weeks. You know, you have less games. These games matter more. So you do want to have teams get the chance to try to hold their own destiny, I guess, is the right way to say it, I guess.
Teams already did hold their own destiny, Chris. It's called getting a stop.
Yeah, that too.
Much like with the weird touchback thing, they just want to prioritize offense. This is another rule in the NFL where they're blatantly just trying to just disincentivize defense or de-incentivize defense. But yeah, and look, here's the thing. Since 2010, right? You see that stat right there. Teams who won the OT coin toss had a 52% chance of winning, at least in the playoffs. All right, that's 52%, granted, but still, that means 48% of the time you don't. That's only a 4-point difference. That's a lean margin, my friends. Like, you're not going to sell me that the lean margin, or, you know, any margin within 5 points is going to like magically guarantee anything. It's not. But good Lord, I know why the NFL hates defense. Because, look, you know, it's not sexy. It doesn't sell as well. And, you know, they're just doing anything to try to artificially increase offense. And I just – everything's just watered down at this point. I was never okay with the OT rule proposal because the only teams that hated it were the teams that cried. You know, for example, most infamously Kansas City. You know, I said this when we first brought it up about how they lost to the Patriots in Arrowhead. And then Travis Kelce literally had a full-blown tantrum on social media over it. And then the Chiefs beat the Bills in overtime. Well, Buffalo never got the ball. And we didn't hear a peep. Then all of a sudden, it's fine. It's like, just play defense. Would it kill you to play defense?
Yeah, that's basically what it comes down to at that point is just need to get a stop on defense. That's all it really is. And you know, there's at that point too, though, like you also have the games where it's like the Chiefs Bills overtime game from a couple of years ago, which was the essentially ended up being the reason why the playoff overtime rules changed to begin with. And you know, you got a game like that, might as well have both teams get a chance on offense because of
no. If they want a chance on offense, their defense can make a stop.
That too.
Because that's the thing. It's like, oh, but what if our defense isn't good? It's like, well, then I'm sorry. You just don't want it enough, I guess. Like, that's what it is. You really – that's the thing, especially in overtime, you know, when one touchdown can win the game, like, automatically, then I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. Like you got to want it more. At that point, it's a test of wills. They say, oh, but what if they're tired? It's like, okay, then what is your strength and conditioning like? It's like, why is one team fresh and the other team just not?
Yeah. I mean, there's also – we've also seen plenty of times where teams don't even try to get the game to the overtime. Like, remember when the Ravens – it actually might have been, like, as I think it was the 23 season, I think it was, where they were – like so incredibly injured that they didn't even want to take the chance of going to overtime because they knew that they would lose. And so they would try to end the game either by winning it on a 2-point conversion at the last second or lose it on that 2-point conversion at the last second.
So still tough.
Yeah.
That's all I got. It's just like, okay, that's tough. Like, what do you want?
Yeah. The Lions bylaw proposal to reseed in the playoffs was tabled, source said. Perhaps more discussion in May. There's also going to be – that's the other thing. There's also another league owners meeting that's going to be happening in May. So a lot of these rules that didn't get passed or banned unanimously or by way of getting the right amount of votes, the 75% vote, then – they'll have another chance at it come May. So, yeah, there's that.
The Lions, speaking of them, their proposal to eliminate automatic first downs on defensive holding didn't have enough votes to pass. And this is a big one. The league will adopt expanded replay assist, finally.
Yes. Yes.
This would allow officials to take another look at basically, you know, personal fouls, you know, like, hey, should there have been a face mask here? Like, remember, like, it seems like every year there's at least two or three, like, really egregious, like, blatant face mask calls where the guy's head gets almost yanked off at just go uncalled.
Yeah.
You know, it's like to look at that. And apparently the big one here is to look at unnecessary roughness calls. Not necessarily look for more. It has been confirmed by Diana Russini that expanded replay assist gives the officials the ability to pick up flags as well. For example, two quarterbacks that come to mind, Patrick Mahomes and even worse than him, actually, Josh Allen, quarterbacks who scramble, hug the sideline, and then once a player comes near them, they duck out of bounds and then fall, obviously drawing a flag. And, you know, Mahomes, now let's don't get me wrong, right? Mahomes is one of the softer quarterbacks in the league. I don't mean that in terms of play style. I just mean like how he will blatantly flop. But don't get me wrong. Josh Allen does it too. And he honestly does it more and doesn't get nearly the hate for it. And that is just, that's Charmin soft, I tell you what. But that, so I feel like there's going to be no more of that. You know, because expanded replay assist will actually hurt these teams. There's like, oh, it's going to result in more flags. Like, bet you anything, it's going to result in more flags being picked up. And just my two cents on this, I think that the league doesn't go far enough. I think that if you flop and try to draw a flag, that should be an unsportsmanlike conduct 15-yard call, but whatever.
They basically, like, I hate to bring up other sports because I feel like that I've been doing that a lot with these proposed rule changes.
But hey,
you look at some of the other sports, they've already tried to crack down on flopping too. Like the NBA, all levels of basketball, never mind the NBA. If you flop, then you're given a flopping warning, which gets thrown into a scorebook. And if you do it again, then it's a technical foul. Or if you do flop and it's egregious enough, then the officials will just tech you immediately. At least that's what I've seen in the NBA. I've seen Kristaps Porzingis get called for it a couple times, or at least once earlier this year. The NHL also has an embellishment penalty as well, where they will still call the aggressive party for the penalty that they would have called, but they also put in put the victim in the box for embellishing the penalty. So. But obviously the NFL would have to find a way to, they would have to charge the embellishing party and not the aggressive party in that case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Pelissero also tweeted out last night, yesterday, NFL owners passed a resolution allowing the league to flex Sunday games to Thursday night with 21 days notice. Just one game was flexed over the past two seasons via a temporary resolution that allowed it with 28 days notice. Today's vote keeps Thursday night football flex in the tools, in the toolbox. How about we just get rid of Thursday night games altogether?
Yeah, I agree. Also, flexing games is stupid in general. Like, I'm so tired. It's like, oh, you know, this game might be flexed to whatever. This, and I'm like, no, why? No, make a schedule and stick to it.
I like the flex in the case of like the Detroit Lions Minnesota Vikings week 18 game. Like that got flexed to be a Sunday night football game because of the stakes that there were around the game. Like if there are high stakes for a potential matchup later on in the season, I'm all for flexing, which is what they basically already do for weeks 17 and 18 anyways, with how the league utilizes Saturdays for those last 2 weeks of the year. So I'm fine with that. Or in the case of like two seasons ago with the Patriots and the Chiefs getting flexed out of Monday Night Football to a regular Sunday 1 o'clock game. I'm fine with stuff like, as a Patriots fan, I was fine with that because that team was dog shit. I mean, the team's been dog shit the last 2 years, but
yeah. I mean, look, I never really hated the whole being flexed out of primetime because honestly, just like as a fan, this one silver lining of not rooting for a good team is that you don't have to deal with primetime games. And I know I'm in a very small minority, but God, I hate primetime games so much. Because, I mean, God forbid you got work or, you know, when I was in college, like I got class tomorrow and I was like, oh boy, at 8 a.m. and my team's playing. Ah, hell. It's just, ugh. God, it's obnoxious. And, you know, then of course, like I said, when you get older, it's now work. Can you imagine if Chris, of like what we do, like really went on during the football season, you know, you got a, let's say a 10 call time, you know, 10 a.m. call time, and then you really like, but your team's playing in prime time, that game's probably not get over till like midnight. You gotta get your full 8 hours, and God forbid you're like me and you gotta drive an hour to work. Then what? I know I sound like a boomer doing this. I'm sorry, kids, but that's just me.
I think that's a lot of people. I think that's a lot of people. Although the one thing that I do have been enjoying about the NFL, especially with Monday Night Football, is the double Monday night set with one game at least kicking off at 7 o'clock and the other game kicking off at 8:15. I do enjoy that. So then I can at least catch one Monday night game.
Possibly.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. Jimmy Haslam finally speaking out on the Deshaun Watson fiasco that has been the last couple of seasons. This is the Fulmer Ruski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back. Fumble Rooski Podcast. Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros. Jimmy Haslam finally was asked about his thoughts on Deshaun Watson, and he said, a big swing and a miss. I think that's probably one of the finer ways to describe the Deshaun Watson and the Deshaun Watson Browns tenure up to this point, that it was a massive swing and a miss. And, you know, when you're the Browns back in 22 and you trade for Deshaun Watson, amongst all of the scandals that are coming out about Deshaun Watson, it was a massive risk to be had at that point. And as a reminder, so the Browns traded away 3 first-round picks, a third-round pick, and 2 fourth-round picks for Deshaun Watson back in 2022. A massive, massive, massive haul for Deshaun Watson, who was playing some very good ball up to that point, by the way. I do still want to preface that. He's still playing some very, very good ball. And the Browns said, you know what? We know that he's got some sexual misconduct shit going on, sexual assault allegations, but let's trade 3 first round picks, a third rounder, and 2 fourth rounders. And let's also send him a 5-year, $230 million contract after we get, once he steps foot into Cleveland as well. And it's just, it's terrible. It's been terrible ever since. Deshaun Watson has played no more than 7 games in a season for the Browns, and that's including the 22 season when he originally got traded, and he was suspended for what, the first 12 games of the year?
11 or 12, yeah.
First 11 or 12 games. And since then, he's only played just 19 of a possible 51 games in 3 seasons with the Browns. Swing and a miss, a total catastrophe, a total, I don't even know what other words to describe. Like, I think in the last, at least couple of years, like the last couple of years that I've been on the show, we've used every single phrase, caption, one-liner in the book to describe how terrible the Deshaun Watson experience in Cleveland has been.
Yeah, look, like I think I got one, Chris. I personally think swing and a miss is a very generous term. This isn't swing and a miss. This is a whole strikeout.
Yeah. This is, you gave up
to the plate. You got first rounders for the guy. You gave him a 5-year, $230 million contract just to get 19 out of 51 games and a record of 9-10. Like, really? Like, look. I'm not going to sit here and pretend the allure wasn't there. In his last season starting, sure, he went 4-12. But yeah, remember, that was more of a Texans thing than a Watson thing, right?
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien was on his way out. It was it looked really bad. Right? Yep. And understandably so. But he still had a 70.2% completion percentage, 4,823 passing yards, 33 touchdowns, and 7 picks. He had shown a lot in his time in Houston, but the first red flag was that, I'm sure you know, I think Houston either picked up his 5th-year option or, like, I think just tagged him. And he told them, I really don't want – and keep in mind, like I said, with all those stats I just listed, he went 4-12. And to be fair, Watson saw the writing on the wall. He knew that this team was going to be garbage. So he said, I really don't want to be here anymore. So he sat out all of 2021. So that in and of itself – that's a red flag because, you know, when you get him back, there's going to be some rust, right? It was unavoidable. And then you trade for him in the midst of the fact that over 20 massage therapists had accused him of sexual assault. What? No. Like, at that point, why would you do that? And not just that, you give up 3 first rounders and then you give him that contract. And honestly, Cleveland, I don't even feel bad, right? And, you know, how the Browns are always just the lovable losers. You can't even call them that anymore because they literally gave the second coming of Ben Roethlisberger all that money. Except the difference was Roethlisberger's actually good. So, but I mean, then there's just Watson, who's creepy and just an awful QB to boot. So you can't even justify it. Like, to be fair, I don't think you could justify Roethlisberger at all, but you really can't justify Watson. Like I said, never broke 1,500 yards in a season, never threw for double-digit touchdowns. In fact, just last season alone, I don't even think he crossed 200 yards in a, passing in a game.
I don't even – did he even play more than four games?
He played seven and amassed a 1-6 record.
That's right.
And then, and even if you didn't have all the sexual misconduct allegations, because that's the crux of this, right? Why would you trade for him? Because, look, even if you didn't, then still this is an awful trade.
Yeah.
Because, like, he just can't stay healthy. You've ruined any organizational credibility you've had. You've just, you've given your fans another kick while they're down. And do you know what the worst part about this is that literally nobody talks about, but I'm about to?
Please.
They screwed over Baker Mayfield for this.
Yep.
Baker Mayfield, and don't give me that whole well, he was coming off a down year. He was literally playing through like a shoulder tear or something for the team. He literally played, put his body on the line and played through an injury for you. So yeah, obviously, you know, he wasn't going to look that great considering the fact he led them to their first playoff win since I can't tell you when, since well before I was born. So yeah, that's just the icing on the cake. And now you look at Baker, who's playing lights out in Tampa, already gave the Bucs a playoff win. So
a playoff win plus multiple playoff appearances.
Yes, true. So honestly, if you're the Browns, just, I don't know what you do, because here's the thing, right? Watson's been, he's entering his fourth season. So you still got two more years of Watson. And then what? Like, I mean, are you going to draft a QB this draft? There are whispers they might. I personally don't think they should. But yeah, and I just, this is one of those things where the only thing that can heal your position is just time. You know, like you, unless you find someone who's willing to take on his contract, which I don't think there will be. I mean, I'd be shocked if there was. Then I think you're just kind of screwed. No, not kind of. You are. It's just, and it sucks too, because before all those allegations and all those, that awful stuff came out, he looked really good as a quarterback. You know, he was playing really well. And, oh, that just, you know, like he went to Cleveland and then got all those allegations and everything just went downhill. And the thing was for Watson, this was preventable too. Just, you know, don't be a pervert. You know, that seems pretty self-explanatory. And, you know, it's something that you think I wouldn't have to say, and yet here we are.
Yeah.
I just, once again, if you're the Browns, forget about rebuilding the team. Just rebuild your credibility at this point. Like I said, you can't even call the Browns the lovable losers anymore after they literally had like that monster in their locker room. Yeah. So, yeah. And Jimmy Haslam's like, all right, point the finger at me and my wife, because, you know, she's like the co-owner. And it's like, well, yeah, obviously. If he had any sense of dignity and responsibility that he thought he had, if he even had half of it, he'd sell the team. Those fans deserve better, man.
Yep. I mean, we said it a couple months ago or a month or so ago. Sometimes you need a new owner to get into the right direction. And look what Washington did. They got a new owner and now they're in the right direction.
True.
True. Anything else you want to touch on surrounding this, or is?
Yeah, there's, just like in general or surrounding this.
Surrounding this. There's some other, there's like one other thing that I wanted to touch on before we ended the show, but wanted to see if there was anything else you wanted to talk about.
No, that's pretty much it. There's one thing I do want to touch on, but it might be the same thing.
Were you going to talk about Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, I was.
Okay. According to Ian Rappaport, a lot of positivity surrounding the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers, but no final word just yet. And this is coming off of – this is him retweeting a tweet from Gary Dulac. Art Rooney II said he has a good feeling about Aaron Rodgers, and the signs are pointing in that direction of him signing with the Steelers. Yeah.
That's however, he also said, Rooney said, that he will not wait forever for Rodgers to make a decision. So just because he's Aaron Rodgers doesn't mean that he's not on the clock either.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers was also seen training with DK Metcalf out in California as well yesterday.
Once again, at this point, you gotta just rip the Band-Aid off Rodgers and just go to Pittsburgh, because obviously he's just gonna let this play out because he likes to be mysterious.
Yeah. Speaking of quarterbacks, Mike Garofalo reported 49ers owner Jed York told me on Brock Purdy deal, I don't think we're that far apart. I think we could sit down and get something done. Whenever he's ready, we're ready. And then he retweeted it and said, York said the Niners committed to Purdy long-term during internal discussions last year and wish they could have done it sooner. When guys with NIL are making more than a third-year NFL pro, there's something wrong with the system not being able to extend guys earlier in the NFL. Don't really know how NIL comes into play at this point, because that's more of a college issue, but okay. But basically, the point being, though, of this reporting is that the Niners are looking to secure Brock Purdy long term at this point. So he's the guy in San Francisco. You can debate on if he truly is the guy. I feel like that this next couple of years are going to determine that. Maybe even this next year, considering how the Niners are starting to look right now. Because McCaffrey can't stay healthy. He's got this mysterious Achilles thing going on right now. George Kittle, Lord knows how much longer he's got left. No more Debo, who is already on a downturn anyways. Brandon Ayuk, although Ayuk just got – well, I'm sorry. So Ayuk just got an extension? Or what was the news about Ayuk that Adam sent to us the other day?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, it's today. Today's the day that if an Ayuk trade were to happen, it'd be now, because the Niners are hesitant about swallowing his cap hit pause. But yeah, so if he were to be moved, and I know some teams are sniffing around him, then it would happen today.
Okay. So at the moment, you have Ayuk, but chances are when we stop recording, it's currently 12:12 right now here on April 1st. So there's going to be a chance that if once we stop recording this episode, say when we post it later tonight, it's a deal may be done. So
they better not.
That would suck. That would suck for us. Because then I wouldn't be able to hop on for an emergency recording like we did for Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Which was great because the news broke 5 minutes after we stopped recording. Speaking of Stephon Diggs, he will be wearing number 8 for the Patriots.
Wait, did that just come out?
Yes.
When?
Like a couple minutes ago.
I didn't see it.
Well, it was somebody that posted the Patriots roster, and he was listed as number 8.
I don't know how I feel about that.
It's an interesting number,
but fair enough.
Maybe it'll look good with the potential new jerseys that the Patriots may be coming out with.
Yeah, possibly.
Did you see that? Alex, whatever his name is, cornerback for the Patriots,
Alex Austin,
retweeted someone saying something about new jerseys, and he said, Won't be too long.
Huh. No, I didn't see that. But hey, maybe.
Maybe. I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Because the jerseys the Patriots have now suck.
I mean, I think they're fine. I would just prefer it with the silver pants.
Yeah. silver pants
better.
Only the silver pants.
All right then.
Well, that came out wrong.
Yeah,
that came out wrong. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? What would your ideal Patriots uniform look like?
I don't know. I can't describe this. It's a show. I mean, it's a more of a visual thing, but I don't know.
Here's my hope is that it's kind of a mix. It's like a modernized 90s jersey. So you got like,
okay, I can get behind that.
So like you got the modern Patriots colors, but it's in the style of the 90s jerseys mm-hmm. With the flying Elvis going down the shoulder.
Yeah,
that would be sick.
Alternate too, with a red alternate.
Yeah, with the red alternate. Oh, hold on. Red flying red jerseys, flying Elvis down the sleeve for the alternate. One of the alternates.
I can do that.
That'd be sick. That'd be sick.
Nice.
That's all the scheduled content we have for today. CJ, you got anything else before we end the show?
Nope. I'm good.
Cool. That'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for tuning in. Of course, new episode coming out on Friday at 5. Be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel. We also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, to keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, for myself, Chris Gossett, he's CJ Medeiros. We'll see you on Friday. Over and out.